How did you?
Just kidding. Or the theme. Hang on the fellow.
All right, Colossians chapter 2, we're going to pick it up where we left off in verse 16. Just kind of a reminder, there are some false teachers coming in the church at Colossae. Paul did not start that church. Paul spent 2 years at Ephesus, where it's believed that Epaphroditus was there, received Christ as his Savior, went back to Colossae, his hometown, spread the same message that Paul taught, and a church was formed. So Paul, it's about 60-62 AD. Paul is in a hired house. He's not in a deep, dark dungeon just yet. People can come to him and go. He can teach people truth about Scripture. He can go through all that great stuff. Epaphroditus is going to him because there's some things in church that he's not quite sure how to attack and how to handle. So he's getting some wisdom from Paul. He travels up there. Paul's giving him some wisdom. So Paul writes this letter back to them. There's some things that Paul had heard that was happening there. And Paul knows, okay, there's a behavior over here that I want, but I can't attack that head on. I got to be smart and wise and have spiritual understanding and go, okay, I got to go backwards. If this is the result I want, I'm going to talk to them and teach them who they are in Christ. Who is Christ to them? We mentioned it this morning in the 10 o'clock hour. Many times it's hard to obey someone you don't know. So sometimes we look at a believer and go, they're not obeying, they're not doing this. Why aren't they? Well, they might not know the Lord they're trying to obey. As they know the Lord, as they understand who he is, what he is, how he is, why he is, and how he views them as an individual, the behavior as a byproduct will kick in. It's easier to yield and obey to someone who you know and who you know personally has your best interest. Right? Absolutely. As a young believer in Christ, many times people, they don't know who this Jesus is. All they know is they heard about his death, his burial, his resurrection, that he died for them, and that individual said, yes, I'm going to accept that gift of salvation. I do need a Savior. I realize Christ is my Savior, and I'm calling on him to save me. That's all they know. That's the best thing to know. But there's some growth that has to happen. And so many times, people are open to learning as a young believer, and they'll just be attracted to whatever sounds good. So these false teachers, who some of them may have received Christ, got off track on some kind of truth or a teaching that led them down a rabbit hole, and now it's their red button issue. So now they're at Colossae teaching this false doctrine. There are unsaved people coming into Colossae teaching a false doctrine, a false teaching. So Paul is giving them, when he's writing the letter, here's who you are. Here's who Jesus is. Here's what he means to you. So that now, therefore, what I'm going to teach you about these false things, you'll understand and go, yeah, I don't want to do those, nor should I do those things. Julie, would you mind if I erase that and put something up there?
No,
Joe, can you help me? Let's try something here. I'm going to have you write down three items. I want us to think about this. What do I want?
Is that what I'm writing?
Yeah, write that down before I forget. What do I want? What am I willing to do to get it? What am I willing to do to get it? What do I want? What am I willing to do to get it? what am I willing to suffer, or how much am I willing to suffer to get it? How much am I willing to suffer to get it? Those are very broad. And what I'm going to try and do here through Colossians chapter 2 is to look at many times people have a heart on what they want. They want to see how to get it. They're open to maybe some suffering. Now, suffering doesn't mean like harsh persecution. It just means, what am I willing to do without? What am I willing to set aside? Right? So suffer, that word, that's a pretty strong word, but it doesn't always mean, with what I'm going to say today, like harsh condition. It doesn't always mean that. It's going to mean, what am I willing to change, to do without? Okay? We're going to see a group of people here who know they want to follow Christ.
I'm sorry, I should
have. That's okay. You can't read my mind.
I can try.
Won't work.
Next time, try, because you may have been able to come up with something better than this. We're going to see a group of people who are born again, they love the Lord, they don't mind that there's something there they have to do. The problem is, a lot of false teachers want this also. Most false teachers don't think they're false teachers, right? Most false teachers, they think that they're actually teaching something true, teaching something right. And what a lot of times what mankind wants to do, especially in an age where you can't just Google something or open a book, remember, until Colossae was written, there was no Colossae. There was no epistle to the Colossians until it was written. So a lot of times when things are being taught through stories or through wisdom, through knowledge, a lot of times people will go off on their mind and start teaching things, saying things, and doing things that aren't true. But just like any of us, if I believe it so much, I can believe it's true, whether it's true or not. All right, verse 16. Therefore, so taking what Paul had just said about Christ has forgiven you, you're complete in Christ, Christ is our head, everything's done in Christ. Therefore, let no one judge you regarding food. So he just got done saying, I don't want to repeat last Sunday's sermon, but he just got done saying who Christ is, the sins he's forgiven, you're complete in him, he's the head, you're sufficient in Christ, you're good to go, right? Everything's good to go in Christ, you're in him. That's what matters. Therefore, don't let anybody judge you, okay, regarding food or drink or respect of a holy day or a new moon or Sabbaths. These are shadows of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now, just that verse is massive. If you just read it in passing, you won't get it. But as you study more and more, what you'll see is that is exactly what Hebrews is all about, right? Let's keep our spot here real quick in Colossians. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The theme of Hebrews is Christ is better. Abraham, better than Moses. He's the high priest after Melchizedek. Better than the law. Better than David. Fill in the blank. But Paul, not Paul. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. I'm not going to say Paul. But this is brought up, that same thing that Paul just said in Colossians. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law is a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things. It could never, by the same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year after year, perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered since the worshipers, once purified, would no longer be conscious of sins? I'm not going to go into deep dive in Hebrews right now, but that same thought is there, right? Back to Colossae. So, if this is who you are in Christ, all that matters is how Christ views you, your sins are forgiven in Christ. Don't let anybody outside or coming into your body judge you on You don't keep the Sabbath. You don't do this holy day. Oh, you don't take time off here. You drink that. You eat this. Hey, that doesn't matter in Christ. Christ fulfilled the law. Even Gnostics who think that they have special knowledge of God, right? God, God's elect that have special teachings, only they know certain things, and not everyone can have that. Even they have rituals. Even they are trying to answer these things with material things that I can check off. Right? A lot of times, it can be scary for mankind to live by faith and understand that there's a system that can't be seen, a spiritual world that I cannot touch. And so sometimes that can be scary for us to trust the Lord in a spiritual journey, and we default on, well, what can I, as I'm answering these, what can I look at? What can I grab? What Sabbath can I follow? What food can I eat? What holy day can I check off and do to keep me right with God? It never could to a Jew, and it never will moving forward. Even with Gnostics and idolatry, always, well, I'll get ahead of myself here. Don't anybody judge you in those things. Verse 18, do not let anyone cheat you of your reward by delighting in false humility and the worship of angels, dwelling on those things which he has not seen, vainly arrogant due to his unspiritual mind. So what's happening here is these people who worship angels, they're not Jews. Jews don't worship angels. They know not to, they don't. It's another form of teaching to worship angels in these spiritual things. That's his unspiritual mind, but things that he thinks are spiritual. That has the idea in the Greek of this. God is speaking to me on things. I'm going to tell you what God's telling me. I have a vision. I have a truth. I have something, and let me tell you what it is. We see that nowadays, don't we? You can't find it anywhere in Scripture, but God's telling you. I don't think God's going to hide anything from any believer and just let you know what that truth is. I don't study anywhere in Scripture. In fact, if you read back in Colossians 1, Paul makes it very clear, I'm praying that you know all things in Christ. I'm praying that you have full understanding. That's everybody, not just the special elect. No, everyone has that. But as young believers are saying, okay, what do I want in the Lord? What do I want to do to get that? It's easy to fall back on, keep these Sabbaths, eat these foods, do these things. Today, it's seen in a lot of various forms. But to be a part of this group, doing these things. I'll just tell you my experience on the group that we came out of that we're no longer associated with. It was very legalistic. Okay? You had to have a Sunday school, a morning service, and a Sunday night, and a Wednesday night service. If you didn't have four services a week, you were not a godly church. You had to, the group I'm out of. Now, I wear a suit and tie, this is personal preference. I like to. Obviously, nobody here has to. But the group that we came out of, if you were a man and you didn't wear a suit and tie, you were not spiritual. You had to dress a certain way. You had to tithe 10%, and usually more, and read your Bible every day, and to pray every day, and you had to witness. If you didn't do those five things, you were not a mature believer. We want to have something material to look at and say, yes, yes, yes. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner. I fast twice a week. I pray. I offer offerings. And the other guy is saying, Lord, be merciful, be a sinner. In the Gospels. Having check marks while we are searching, having check marks can build you up. You have Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. These questions are good to ask. The Colossae believers have a right idea, they're doing well, and it can be easy for them to get swayed by a false teaching. Now, most of them are not. Most of them are staying true. We read that last week. Most of them are right where they should be, doing what they should be. Some of them are kind of maybe giving in a little bit. So Paul is writing back to them, helping them. Let's keep on going here. And not supporting the head, these false teachers, from which the entire body, nourished and knit together by joints and sinews, grows as God gives the increase. So, this, the selfish, I have a special revelation, I am God's gift to the world, I'm going to teach you these things, we're going to do these things, that divides the body. And Paul's saying, no, Christ brings everything together. There's unity and harmony. He goes into it really beautiful in Ephesians chapter 4, probably one of the best scripture references to what the church should be doing in America today. Ephesians 4. But with Christ as the head, the body comes together. We're one. We're going forward together. Man made and man imposed things divides the body. That's what happens, right? Now, don't raise your hand. Not if you want to. You don't have to. But how many of us have been into a church where you knew right away, whoa, there are some things I have to do here. And if I don't do them, that's not going to go well for me. I'm not going to be in the in group. Right? There are some things that I have to do. In any body of Christ, you should have to do nothing other than love Jesus and serve Him. Why? If everyone loves the Lord and serves Him, I'll understand what my gift is, and I'll come together in harmony. But if I have to do something, that means my mind already has a subconscious presupposition on division. Well, they're not doing this. They're not saying that. They don't do this with us. Well, they're not for us. They don't come to this with us. Yeah, maybe because they work, that's why. Maybe they have a graveyard shift. Does that make them any less spiritual or less valuable? No. But since you wrote something down saying you have to come to this to do these things, to be a part of us, you're causing division. We've all been a part of a group like that, maybe. Or at least maybe went to a church and went, whoa, yeah, not for me. Not for me. Okay, the things that we ask are, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what your gift is? Do you know how to use your gift? Those aren't check marks. Those are personal between you and the Lord, right? What does that do? What do those questions do? They help the body come together to encourage and lift up and come together and be unified. Not go, nope, not with us. Nope, we're separated. Nope, can't be a part of us. Isn't that amazing? This is how that naturally happens. That's what Paul's saying here. Hey, Christ as the head, the body being joints and sinews coming together, it's one, not divided. These false teachers coming in are causing a division. It's okay to stand up to people who cause division. As long as you do it with love and grace. That's the balance, right? All right, therefore, so just taking from verses 16 down to verse 19. So that therefore there. Therefore, if you died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you subject yourself to legalistic rules? Don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. These are to perish with use and are aligned with the commandments and doctrines of men. These things have indeed a show of wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but are worthless against the indulgence of the flesh. These things have no value. Yes, if you look at them, sometimes you might think, whoa, that guy is willing to not have certain things. That guy is willing to suffer in a great way. He's willing to fast and to look at how structured he is in his way of living. Look at how much he's willing to devote himself to God. No, that is him, all about him, showing you more about him. has nothing to do with the Lord or God's grace or understanding who he is in Christ or loving on others, having mercy on others. Legalistic rules show others how good I am. Spiritual understanding and gifts show others how much I'm invested in you. I'll explain a little bit more. Legalistic rules separate and show this is what I'm doing for God. Look at what I'm willing to do. Look at what I'm willing to suffer. Look at me. A gift of God being used properly shows let me help you get to know him, not me. Yes, as a byproduct, we'll bond. Absolutely. That's what God's body does. But I'm focused on the Lord using me to help you get more to him. And the recipient says, yes, I want to know. I want you to use your gift to help me get to know him, to get to him. That's the difference. Massive, right? Each extreme show some sort of spiritual journey or some sort of commitment, some sort of wanting to do something. So when someone looks at it and goes, wow, they're saying this, they're doing these things, they're committed, they're structured, it's easy for someone young to go, I'm going to fall right in step with that. And all it breeds is just arrogance and selfishness and look at me. I know that I was a part of a group that did that. I know firsthand what it's all about. I fell into that for the first 2 years of pastoring. So I have a little bit of experience on what not to do. What not to do. I don't want to learn that way. I like to look at others and go, I'm going to learn from them what not to do. Not, yeah, I've done that. It's embarrassing. But sometimes the Lord allows that. He doesn't always want it, but he allows it. So, moving forward here, let's keep on reading. Verse 23, these things have need a show of wisdom and self-imposed worship and humility and the lifting of the body, but are worthless against the indulgence of the flesh. If you want to do those things, and live by that, you will not live a victorious Christian life. It will not happen. Because you're looking for things to do, what to eat, what not to eat. There's nothing of any spiritual substance there. So when a temptation comes, you're going to fall right into it because you're not meditating or focused on spiritual truths that Paul went over in chapter 1 and half of chapter 2. So again, having these legalistic rules, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, don't do this, don't do that, in the spiritual realm does nothing for you. Does nothing for you. So again, the behavioral outcome will be even worse, and we'll get into that in Colossians 3. So Paul knows if they're focused on don't touch, don't taste, don't handle those things, they're going to go in Romans 7, the more I look to the law, the more I sin because I'm following the law. The more the law I see, the more the law I fall into, right? Same thing. The more legalistic rules I have, the more I try and follow, the more I fail. It's not addressing the issue, which is Christ in me. So Paul gives a chapter and a half on I got to help them understand who they are so that the byproduct of their behavior I can get to. If they don't know who they are, who Christ is, how Christ values them, sees them, who they are in him, how they're complete in him, they'll never behave the way I'm trying to behave because they'll always be focused on if I want to behave a certain way, I got to do this and do that and do these. Now, I'm going to bring this to us nowadays. I'm going to take it out of context. I'm going to say, okay, for us as a principle, what do I want? What do I want? If I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, I'll learn it. You know, for the most part, not always, most believers know what they know about God right now of the effort you put in. Most of us know the amount about God, what God wants, desires, his likes, his dislikes, who we are in him, who we're not in him, the truths that we understand and know, most of that is the effort I've put in. Now, if you've said, okay, here's where I'm at, but I want to know more, you might require a teacher. If that were not true, God would have never given the gift of teaching. Maybe you're kind of maxed out. That's not bad. God desires his body to come together and say, okay, this is what you want. You've maxed out what you want. You want to know more? I need to bring this person to you so that you can know more. Once someone understands what they want, now they have to realize, what am I willing to do to get it? This is the big one. Because now it's up to subjective. Now it's on the what ifs, maybes, could be's, how comes, why's. What am I willing to do to get it? This is the big one people have to contemplate. This is where everyone's walk with the Lord starts. What do I want? Now what am I willing to do to get it? Lord, I'll take you this far. In sports, in the military, for that matter, when you're physically exhausted, when you've been pushed so hard that you're going to die, you're actually only about 40%. Most people can do 60% more than what they're thinking right there. That's the point of the military training, is to push you beyond what you think you can handle. That's the point. They have to break you down and mold you to someone new so that when you go to war, you're not thinking, as soon as I put my vehicle in drive, or as soon as I get on my vehicle and start walking on a mission, I'm tapped out, I'm done, I can't do this. No, you have 60% more to go. So they break you and mold you a little bit forward. Sports is the same way. When I'm coaching kids, sixth grade and under, coach, I can't do it. Keep trying. Let's see what you can do. And inevitably, they do it. They do one more lap. They do one more up down. They tackle one more guy. They do one more drill. They catch one more ball. They go beyond what their mind thinks. Why? Because when it's come to that point, they've practiced and trained themselves to that point to stop. The flesh will fight what's comfortable. There's nothing comfortable from the world at us in the Christian life. Comfort comes from within and our walk with the Lord. You're not going to find it out there. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is fighting against you. It has to come from within spiritually. Once I decide what I'm willing to do to get it, how much then am I willing to suffer to get it? Now, suffer doesn't always mean, man, I have no friends, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything, all these like extreme, people hate me, don't want to talk to me. It's not always that bad, right? But the mindset is, am I looking for value or acceptance in my peers, in society, or is it from the Lord and the Lord only? Because those that love the Lord will love me. And that's all I really care about. I don't care about the cool group I'm associated with and the guys in society, which I'm not saying don't be in society. You need to be in there to witness. But my value isn't in my career, my job, the things I have done or used to do, who I used to be in a prior life before I was saved. Who cares? All I care about is the Lord. And if that means that he doesn't want me to go to certain areas or do certain things or be around certain people, is that too much to ask of me from the one who died for my sins? Is that too much for him to ask? That's what I have to ask myself. I'm telling you a question I ask myself. Lord, is this too much to ask? What am I willing to suffer? What am I willing to give up? One of the biggest ones is my life. Not the life you think you want to live for God. It's the life you know that God wants you to live for Him. You have a God in your mind. And many times we'll live our life according to that God. Then there comes a moment when I read scripture, praying, listening to a sermon, or whatever, I'm talking to God, and He says, no, I want you here. And I default and go, but I am uncomfortable with that because that means fill in the blank. Yeah, but that's what I want. Lord, I was doing just fine here. I was still going to church, reading my Bible, praying, have a ministry, nice to my community. Yeah, but that's what you want for me. That's what you want for me. That's not what I want for you. They're good, but they're replacing what's best. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? There is a God that I have served, and I've served well. But I've served Him how I wanted to serve Him, and there are times in my life when He says, this is what I want. I want you to teach someone else what you know about me. Now I have to give up my schedule, God? It's amazing how Americans are attached to their schedules. Yeah. But I'm always tired. Is it too much for Him to ask?
No.
So I have to ask myself, right? I meet with someone today at 1 o'clock. I already know probably how it's going to go. Is it too much to ask? To have an open heart, open mind, and a love for Him to say, okay, this one could be different. This time could be different. Not too much to ask. What am I willing to suffer? An afternoon on a Sunday? Nothing going on? To invest whatever it is for that next hour talking to this person and what the Lord has for them? Not too much to ask. What do I want? What am I willing to get for it? How much am I willing to suffer for it? A lot of it has to do with the biggest ones are time and calendar. I'm putting myself out there, right? Giving money is easy. But I'm not going to go there. Here's where I'll go. How much time am I willing to give up to invest in someone I don't even know? Am I willing to do that? If someone says, I want you to teach me about the Lord. I'm open. I'm the Colossae believer. I'm open. I desire to know. Will you teach me? Does my mind, knee-jerk reaction go, I'm too busy, I have this. Then the second tier is, well, if I didn't have this, but didn't have that, no. We'll always have excuses. The flesh defends what's comfortable. Now, I'm not even saying God's going to ask you. That's one example I've used. But we all know in our own individual lives that comfort I have with serving the God I have in my mind. And I also know exactly, at the same time, things that God's nudging me to grow or to do something or go somewhere or say something or be involved in or whatever. But I'm like, that's out of my comfort zone, though. I'm looking for ways to talk you out of that for me, God. I'm looking for ways to talk that out. Nope. What do I want? If I am shaky here, James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In the context that has the idea of, God, I think you can, but I don't think you will for me. Or it's, God, I know you can, but I don't think you will for me. I know you can, but I don't think you're going to. You'll be unstable in your ways. Once I know what I want, is it spiritual? Is it to know the Lord by purpose, what God has for me? Not going somewhere, here now. Now it's, what am I going to do to get it? The easy thing would be, I'll go to church every Sunday. That's easy, it fits my calendar. Well, now I'm just kind of, that's a good place to start, right? But if I look at it a little bit deeper in the Bible on why we come together, the word worship is never in connection with the body coming together. The word worship is never in connection with people coming together. Learning and teaching loosely there. The theme every time we come together is so we can use our gifts and the body can grow. That's why we come together. We come together in fellowship, we come together so that we each can serve one another. That's the major thing. Learning might have to be done at a different time. That's okay. That's all right. These three questions can be really used for almost anything, right? At my job, my career, for the Lord, whatever. But I think the Colossian believers were open to these thoughts, because some of them are kind of going astray with some false teaching. Because they said, I want to serve the Lord. I see that I can do these check marks to get there. And I see that I'm going to have to do without certain foods and drinks. I'm willing to do it. We all have something else like that. You know what it is between you and the Lord. You don't need to confess anything to me. And I ask that you don't. Let's see if that's someone to talk to. You can go to God who is your high priest. And you can talk to him and say, all right, Lord. I am eager. I have wanted. I have desired. But I've always come short because I've been afraid. Fear is one of the biggest killers in our life. Fear. There is no fear in love. A perfect love casts out fear because fear hath torment. Some of us might not even know, what do I want? I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what I want. What am I willing to do to get it? How much am I willing to suffer? The Colossian believers have the right idea. They just needed to have the right person to do it after. Not a false teaching. I think all of us here have the right idea. Some of us may need some encouragement just to be pushed a little bit more to say, it's okay. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand again, many of us have asked ourselves these questions, we've done this before in our lives, and as soon as we take that leap, as soon as we say, okay, Lord, I'm in, whatever it is, I just want to know you, who you are, what you are, why you are, how you are, I just want to be consumed by you, as I do my day-to-day life, as I do things in the world, I just want you on my mind, and when you get there, there's this huge relief, there's this huge just man, and you think to yourself, why didn't I do this earlier? Why did I didn't just let this go earlier? I'm just saying, okay, I'll trust the Lord, but I actually have actions behind what trusting the Lord looks like. Now that I'm here, I don't ever want to go back. I don't know why it took so long for me to get here, but now, who else can I look at to teach what I know? Who else can I teach? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. Lord, I know today was more contemplative than normal, but I pray that you use it, Lord, to seek deep into people's hearts and minds. And be open to your leading. Thankful for these teachings, Lord, that Paul had towards the Colossian believers. Many of them were open. Many of them knew what they wanted, willing to suffer, willing to do what it took to be an example of what they should be doing in you, Lord, and they just followed a false teaching, followed check marks. Allow us to not fall into that check mark legalistic way. Allow us to be open to your guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there are people here that desire to know more, that desire to learn, that desire to grow, that they didn't even know what that means, allow them to talk to myself or somebody here at church to say, hey, I don't know what it all entails, but I do want to know more. You know, we can take them, Lord, and just disciple them and show them just the wonderful truths about who you are, what you are, our value in you. Well, what a wonderful time that will be. Lord, you have spoken to your children and given them exactly what they needed. Father, I ask that they would take those things that are on their hearts and minds that you have spoken them to about, that you would use those things to change them forever. They would not just walk out of here challenged, but changed. And becoming that much more close to you, that much more conformed to your image. We give you the honor for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.